Hello and welcome to episode 29 of LDS Woman's Book Review Podcast. I'm Shanda.
Sheila.
And your favorite, Hillary.
We're back after a short break for the holidays and, you know, me having a baby.
Like recovery.
Yes. She's really cute, too.
For those of you who may not know, I delivered my daughter 5 weeks early because of preeclampsia. She's doing very well. She only had to spend 5 days in the NICU, and she's home and getting chunky and all sorts of cute.
She almost has rolls. It's great.
Almost. Cute. She doesn't have little stick legs anymore. They're actually filling out with little baby legs.
They still
legs.
Look like stick legs to me, but then again, I've never had a baby 5 weeks early.
No. She's now almost the same size my son was when he was born, and she's 6 weeks old now. So she's getting there. She's doing really well.
She's adorable.
So.
Curly
and we're
red hair.
So happy to have her with us and healthy, and it was just crazy because I had a lot of time on bed rest at home and then in the hospital before I had her and everything. So anyway, now we're back to our regular routine of reading. Life and adjusting and
reading some more.
Well, I guess reading, you can't say back. We'll just say we formed a new normal.
There we go.
For reading and everything, ready to get back into the podcast.
Yes.
And I had to get back into reading because Sheila and I, of course, were part of the judging panel for the Whitney Awards to determine who the final nominees were.
It's okay, Robinson.
Two different...
My feelings aren't hurt.
Well, you've been extra busy
with
school.
No, I am so way too busy. Just kidding.
Well, I was part of the judging for the youth fiction.
And I was over romance. Well, not over. I was one of them for romance.
But it was fun.
It was fun. And it was crazy. Because we had a lot of them that were nominated near the end of the year. And we had a whole bunch of books that were sent kind of last minute-ish. And having, I had my baby New Year's Eve day. So I had a month, basically, to read a whole, 13, 14 books, something like that. It was a lot of books. 1, 2, 3.
I had 14, I think. I think you had maybe one or two more than I did.
13 books.
But it
which,
was a
you
fun
know,
ride.
It was a fun ride. And judging romance is a little harder than I expected. Because there's little nuances, and there's Regency romance and historical, and there's modern, and there's chick lit type romance. And so it's really kind of difficult to compare. It's not apples and oranges. It's not that drastic. It's like Roma apples and Red Delicious.
Mine was pretty varied too, because I had a lot of fantasy books, like the ones that I love and read already, like 13th Reality and Far World. And
Sheila Heaven.
I was in Sheila Heaven. It was
half
great.
Your reading was already done
it
then.
It was. It was so nice, and Sun and Moon, Ice and Snow. But then a lot of it was really more just your typical youth fiction books for teenagers. That really, there were some really good books that I think.
Didn't
she
say that Jeanette Rollison, stuff like that?
Authors? She just had a book that she released in January.
Oh, okay.
That will probably be, I know
but
for
is it
sure.
That type of fiction?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
And I'll be telling you about some of those when we talk about our recent reads.
Okay. Well, now that we've talked a little bit of my personal news, anyone else have any personal news that's
really
happened?
Want to know mine?
Well, if you want to share it, you don't have to.
Well, I'm getting a divorce. I'm laughing. I'm not laughing, but it's just kind of like,
if you don't laugh, you'll cry kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's good terms though, right?
Everything's good terms. Yeah. It's going to be finalized in a few weeks. And then we had to put our dog to sleep. I mean, it's just like,
it's had a rough,
it's been
few months
a rough,
for you.
Rough ride for the past several months. So, I mean, truly my reading has been my solace. And I put this in my blog that I do, which is Why Not Because I Said So, blogspot.com.
Go ahead, plug it.
My
That's
little
fine.
Blog there. I said that today when I typed up my blog. I just said, you know what? If it wasn't for my reading, I don't think I could have made it through this, you know, these last several months. It just kind of was my way to get away, and it was my solace. It was my thing that just helped me through. So if anyone has any good suggestions of other books to read about divorce, I've been trying to read several and different books that are out there, and I will be sharing some of my books that I've found for those who may find themselves in the same situation as I do.
I'm just glad everything has been amiable for you.
Yes, it has been.
Fortunate, I would say.
Especially for the children.
So. I think so, yeah.
And very sorry about your dog.
Oh, I am too. We had him for, he was 15 or 16 years old, and we had him since 1994. So it was very, very heartbreaking that we had to make that choice, but he was incident to old age in an accident, and so we've really been sad at our house.
Well, hopefully this podcast will help cheer you up a little bit because we have a lot of good books to talk about.
Holy cow. Lots of books.
Oh, on a good note, ladies. Yes. 1.5 terms to go.
Yes, yay. We're so excited for you.
I'm so excited.
We all get a free massage,
I think,
right?
So.
I can't wait for you to be done with school and be able to like to really
have a life
be back
again
here in the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, and be a full participant again.
Well, I don't care if you have a life. I just want you to be back here for the podcast.
Oh, and participating instead of going, well, I read the medical dictionary on.
Well, we have to do what we have to do, and you've made the best of it. You've made the best of it.
Oh, and I have a note for Sheila, Angela, if you're listening. I'm taking Reiki next term.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea what that is, but anyway,
she knows what I'm talking about, and Sheila knows what I'm talking about.
I have some book news. If we're ready to move
on
to book news,
let's talk
about
it.
Okay, first of all, the Whitney Award nominees for the 2008 the books released in 2008 are they're out released. They're up on WhitneyAwards.com. You can go and click on the nominees link, and it will show you the nominees in all the different categories, which is romance, mystery suspense, youth fiction, speculative, historical, general fiction, best book by a new author, and novel of the year.
There are some great books there. I'm so excited by so many of them. It's just going to be a great awards
again. And because the Whitney Awards Gala is going to be the end of April, we have a little bit more time to read this year than we did last year, which
thank
will be
goodness,
nice.
Because I have 22
March
more books to read.
It was in March.
It was end of March.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
the whole month.
Carrie Blair and Orson Scott Card are up for Lifetime Achievement Awards.
Really?
I'm so excited when I saw mm-hmm. Carrie. It's like, yay.
She's such a sweet lady. I like
she
her.
She deserves it.
That well, she worked lady. Really hard last year with the Whitney Awards
she
also.
Did.
And, I mean, she has several novels. I don't even know how many she's published.
Did you read Counting Blessings?
I haven't yet. I haven't gotten to that yet. Nope, I haven't read Tuesdays with Maury.
I took Shanda a stack of books when she was in the hospital because
that's
she didn't have
nice.
Anything else to do. So and I brought her some of my favorites. And she didn't like one of them, but that's okay.
A couple of interesting movies, too.
I don't know if I want to ask.
You don't. And we're not going to do it. But anyway, one of them we watched while I was starting to go into labor, and I can't even go into it. It's one of those British comedies, okay? We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, we'll leave
and
it
I
there.
Finally said, hun, turn it off. I can't do that. I can't watch this movie and focus on contractions, so. We
I
didn't get to finish
watching
that one. You were like blushing,
that's
Hillary.
I'm trying so hard not to break up laughing because if you see, okay, we are
it
not
is a funny
talk
film.
About this movie.
Anyway. So I haven't got to that one yet. I have got to Counting Blessings, but I'm excited for Carrie Blair and Orson Scott Card.
Yes, richly deserved by both.
And then
absolutely.
We have more books to work on this year already on the list for next year's Whitney Awards. To be eligible for the Whitney Awards for next year, there's 14 books already on the LDS Publisher.blogspot.com list.
Nuts.
And I've already got, I think, 5 or 6 of them on hold. Some of them are on order at the library. They haven't been purchased by the library yet, but I'm already on the hold list. So if it gets to like 300, I'll be like number 72 and it won't be such a long wait.
And there's
some
no pressure to read it before April either. So
No, there isn't. That's
so
just,
that's
you know.
By the time you'll get it, it'll be middle of summer.
Well, in 2008, I didn't start reading, following that list until July, August.
So if you get an early start now, that's
I'm
good.
Hoping.
That's good.
I'm hoping, but I also have to balance that with reading the books to vote on.
Well, we have to read those.
The finalists. So
we have to read those.
Yep. The next thing I want to tell you about is Jenny Hansen's having a contest for free books on her blog, notesfromjennysdesk.blogspot.com.
Very cool.
She has 7 years worth of books she's been sent for review for Meridian Magazine.
Oh, my word.
And she has a picture of a bookshelf in her house that is loaded with these books. And so go read her blog about this book. She asks a question in relation to what's your opinion about this certain subject. And she wants your opinion. And then your name goes into a drawing for this book, whichever one it happens
good.
To be up.
Yes.
And
I'm going to go enter.
I know. I'm like,
It's notesfromjennysdesk.blogspot.com. And I read a couple of her other blog entries while I was there. I enjoyed reading her blog.
She has a very nice blog.
Different perspectives. She has some pretty funny stories on one of her entries. One of them includes her brother doing something, and they were outside, and he was going to go tell her mom, and she wanted to tell on him first, and so she was racing to catch up with him, and she fell and got up and got to the kitchen just in time to see her brother slip on the fresh remote floor and land with his butt in the bucket or something like that.
That's funny.
There's some pretty funny
that's
stories
pretty
and different things like that in there. So check out Jenny's blog. I'm going to be putting a link on the homepage, our front page on our website to that. So you can get to Jenny's blog from there or on our links page. Because I'm going to be putting your Sheila, your link on our links page, and Jenny's also, and a few other ones that I found that I like recently.
You know what? I have several blogs that I've been following of several authors, so maybe I'll give you, because I've been following Josie Kilpack's and Annette Lyons' blog and James Dashner's.
No,
and
I just worry
Jeff
I do.
Savage.
And, I worried I would do nothing but sit there all day and read people's
blogs.
You know
what? I am thoroughly enjoying it. I like April Lynn Pike's. I mean, there's several of them that I just get the updates because I'm you know, registered to just get their updates. And it's been fun. It gives you some good ideas and different. They tell what they're reading. And
well, and you've been my connection when I was out and I couldn't really. I wasn't online. I wasn't getting emails. I was disconnected. You were the one that kind of kept me updated on what was coming up this year with the books and the authors. So
it is fun. I did on my blog. I did a lot of upcoming books for 2009. I didn't get as far as I wanted to. But
we still have a whole year, sweetie.
I know. That's what I thought. I can still blog about several of them. But it's fun. I love blogging.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to let the listeners know also that we're working on getting Josie Kilpack on.
Yay! I love Josie.
To the podcast, either through Skyping or finding some way for her to come visit us if she's in the area.
That will be
great. To be able to come
sit
in the studio here, my dining
room.
She's
a great lady.
And
very gracious.
Podcast
very,
with us. I know we spoke with her briefly at the Whitney Awards last year on the podcast, and I loved being able to talk with her, so I'm looking forward to that. And also, attention, Dorothy Kennington fans, attention.
Woohoo!
Dorothy Kennington has been in personal contact with me. Oh my gosh, I have had, like, starstruck conversations with her. She called my house, you guys, a couple of times. I was, I sounded like an idiot a few times. But anyway, she has given me a copy of the manuscript for The Fairy Thorn after she's made a few little revisions to it, and it has been submitted.
Oh, that is exciting.
I'm so excited.
Not accepted yet. It takes them a few months to get it, but it has been submitted to a publisher, and she's waiting to hear back from that. And while she's waiting, she is on a little trip to the Northwest. I mean,
like
where
that
she bases
chick loves the Northwest.
Where she bases her, she has a place she goes, and
all
of the places where these things take place, they're real. Like, you can go drive past the house where Sergei and Ksenia stay.
Book.
I know you hated it, but you can. That what I'm saying is the place
no,
is a
I'm
real
just,
place.
She just didn't say that. Did
I did
she?
Not say
because
that.
She's working on her next book already.
You know what? This sounds like we need to make a little car trip. Little road trip.
I told her, I said, we need to organize Dorothy Kennington
road trip.
Book tours. Like, where we go and visit
I think
all
that
the places.
Might mean Ireland.
You know, most people
are I didn't think about that.
I wanted to go to Ireland. No, I was just laughing because it's like most people that I talked to are taking their road trips up to Forks.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to Forks.
Well, hey, if we're going to be in the area, we
might
can
as
stop
well swing by.
Or why not?
But anyway, so I just wanted to let the Dorothy Kennington fans know that the Fairy Thorn has been submitted, and she is working on her next novel as we speak. And I have read The Fairy Thorn, and I really liked it a lot. I liked it a lot.
I'm very excited.
So it is classic Dorothy Kennington, and nobody can write the romance like she does.
Oh, that
not
woman is skilled.
It's nice without being steamy. Like, it's not steamy. It's not graphic, but it curls your toes, but not in a way that you would ever be embarrassed if someone caught you reading it.
Oh, heavens
ever.
No. Like, if your bishop walked in the door,
you
would not be going.
But it's a step above your, it's not, you know, so tame as your normal LDS romance, but it's not graphic and it's not steamy and it's not embarrassing.
Exactly.
Because even
just
some of the even some of the quote unquote clean romances can be
not so clean,
kind of embarrassing at times.
Yes.
If you know, you're like, oh, if my state president knew I read that. I mean, but then not, even just because it doesn't have graphic description doesn't mean it can't be a little too steamy. Even if it doesn't go anywhere, do you know what I mean? Even if it's just kissing, it can be too much.
I don't know anything about that anymore.
I would have to agree
depending
with that.
On. I should say it can be done not. So
there is
tastefully.
A way. Okay, there is a
does
way
that,
to write a really steamy kiss without making it
lewd.
Lewd. That's a very good word for it.
Yeah, that's kind of.
There is a way
over.
To do it, and she is a professional.
She just does
she
such
is
an awesome
a pro
job.
Pro at that.
We are going to get her on the podcast very soon.
This will be fun.
Very soon.
This will be fun.
She can't wait to come and speak with us. So we're going to let her
I don't
get
know
back
how much
from
I'll be
her
able
trip.
To blah blah blah.
You guys
blah.
Will have the. I say you guys
I
are going to have
think.
The Brandon Mole syndrome, like I did at last year's Whitney Awards. Brandon Mole, and he just went, wanted to run away from me, but
I'm hoping
not to do that this year.
I'm hoping to get you know past it now that I've had several conversations with her. I actually went and met her at my friend's house, who is her daughter-in-law.
That's right.
And spoke with her face to face. And she gave me this hug right off the bat. And she's just a sweet, sweet lady. We shared the same opinion about Breaking Dawn.
Really?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We talked about that.
We will not go into Breaking Dawn.
Not tonight. But I have heard that reading it a second time through, it's not so bad. I've heard that from a couple different people.
I got halfway through
we'll
the book and
see.
I've read it. This is the second time I'm reading it. I stopped because I wanted
to. We're talking
to,
about Breaking
I know,
Dawn,
yeah,
right?
I stopped because I got to where I needed to be to see if I really got it.
But and it was the same?
No, it was better. Oh. It was better, but I'm still not in any rush to finish reading it.
I just
it.
Have too many books.
And I've got too many other things to read that I want to read.
I have to give it time. It has to sit
I can't
for a while,
do it. I can't do a Twilight read like I can do a Dorothy Kennington read.
Yeah.
Which I've got to somehow find a new copy of Return to Red Castle because mine is literally in
one.
Pieces. You do?
I have a really nice book.
Really?
Yes.
We'll talk later.
I need the thing that I just wanted to say when we were talking about all the Whitney Award things and everything is go to the website and start reading some of those books if you haven't had a chance to, and just find out a little bit more about the Whitney Awards. I think there are still a lot of people that don't know about the Whitney Awards and really what they're based on and who's behind it all. Our friend Rob Wells is the president of the Whitney Awards. Or the Whitney Foundation, I guess, is that basically what they're calling it?
I think so.
You know, all he wanted us just to say was just make sure everybody knew when the Whitney Awards were taking place. It's April
25th.
It's that Saturday.
The Provo Marriott.
Right. And talking about that also, LDS Storymakers has their conference April 24th and 25th, also at the Marriott Hotel in Provo. It's going to be wonderful. I get to go, and
yes,
I'm
you
so
do.
Excited because I'm going to be off track then. So I just decided that if I'm really going to be serious about maybe being a writer, a real writer, that I need to go and learn about the craft more. Because that's something that Angela has just really been trying to beat into my head, mm-hmm. is that if I'm going to be serious about this, I need to go and learn from the pros and learn from the best there. And so,
and that gives me an inside man, or a woman, as it may be, to be able to see from the LDS Storymaker's point of view what that conference is all about, so you can
right.
talk about it a little more on the podcast.
That'll
and let
great.
Other people know. And also, you can help me get hookups for when we go, and because you know we're trying to be the official podcast of the Whitney Awards.
We just haven't heard back from Rob yet if he's going to.
Are they going? And even if they don't, we'll just unofficially claim.
We'll
ourselves
just like
that.
Butt our noses in like we did last year with everybody.
But you know, we highlighted so many authors. And
it was good.
And
it was a great podcast.
That podcast was one of our most popular.
Oh,
got the most
surprised.
Hits, was listened to the most.
It's going to be the same way this
that
next
and
year.
Jeff
year.
Savage's.
Well, oh how gosh. Can you not like Jeff
that
Savage?
That man has
podcast.
A lot of friends or something because those are always the most hit
well,
podcasts.
And he
and
is
stuff,
over
so.
Storymakers Conference this year. He's in charge
really?
Of it.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, great.
And speaking of Jeff, I have to tell you guys what happened right before we went off track. He actually came to my school where I teach, second grade, and he did his Far World Assembly.
Oh, wow.
And it was so good. He was absolutely hilarious. He did a fantastic job. So if there's anyone out
was
there.
Was there a final board presentation involved?
There was nobody did have his PowerPoint presentation. And he did magic tricks. I mean, because it was all about finding your magic. You know, it's so funny because he asked for two people to come out of the audience, and he chose two of my students that are just two of the funniest.
In your class?
In my class. Two of the funniest Yahoo kids that you'll ever meet in your life. And
that's a yahoo.
Just like that, it was like, woo, you know, just kind of fun. And so, I mean, he chose, and it was just perfect. But I have to tell you, I was so impressed with Jeff's presentation that he does at the schools. He does an excellent job. So
I know the last time he was here after the podcast,
right.
he told us a little bit about it. I just wondered how it would be actually in the assembly.
It was fantastic. And guess who got to introduce him? It was
you.
Me. I was so excited.
In the assembly?
Yeah, the assembly. I was the
oh,
one because
fun.
I knew I was friends with him. And so they said, well, you get to introduce him. And I was like, yay. So that was my fun. It was a fun thing to do.
It's nice to have connections sometimes.
It is.
You get
He's
to
such
be
a good guy.
Famous at your school.
Oh, well, you know.
As far as that
second
goes,
second grade makes you famous. Let me tell you, all those second graders, oh, you know.
They're easily impressed.
They really are.
Any other book news before we move into recent reads?
Just that I went to Jessica DeGeorge's launch party number 2 tonight at Barnes & Noble for Princess at the Midnight Ball. She did a fantastic job there too. I have to tell you. More people need to come out to these events because you get to.
I didn't even know what was going on.
I didn't know either.
Well, I just got this. I find out a lot about this from just their blogs. Jessica has a wonderful blog also, and she just said tonight that she's revamping her blog, and maybe doing some fun things. She just read from the book, and then they had a drawing, and my daughter won a hardback copy of Princess at the Midnight Ball. I was so jealous.
Has she read it yet?
No. I was going to buy the hardback copy for myself and then let her get the ARC that she'd sent us and have her take that one. But she's, I get it. It's like, ah. But it was cute. I was really happy for her that she won that.
Well, congratulations.
So it was fun. So, but I'm just thinking there's just a lot of things. Like Brandon Mull has his big thing coming up with the release of Fablehaven 4, the Dragon Sanctuary. I'm not, that's not the real official
Well,
title,
if you know about these things, you need to forward them on to me so I can put them on our front page. I will. And I can even email our listeners that are signed up under the mailing list.
Well,
and let them know
year,
these things are happening.
He had the big thing at Cottonwood High School, and he's doing it again this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
you see,
just,
I didn't know about that when it was
I
in
didn't
talk
get to go last
either.
Year, but I'm really thinking I want to take my kids this year because they like Fablehaven. We've been listening to the CDs in the car back and forth from school and home. So lots of fun
Very
things
cool.
like that. And we've also been listening to the Harry Potters on CD. And I was going to share this with everybody because it was kind of funny. One of the librarians at my school, I was all excited and telling her about LDS Women's Book Review and about the podcast that we do and the blogs that I write. And she said, "You're rather bookish, aren't you?" And it's like, yes, I am. So I thought that was a compliment.
Let's talk about what we've been reading recently.
Oh,
because we have a big long list and I don't want to carry on too long with our recent reads, even though that's basically all we have to talk about.
Yeah.
I know Sheila and I have some that we've been reading.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, Hillary's list
is
almost as long.
It's a miracle.
Tell us about what you decided to, how things changed for you, why you have such a list.
I got sick to death of reading massage books and anatomy books. And I said, that's it. So I got a list and I went to the library and I put a bunch on hold and said, to heck with it. I am reading fiction.
Good
for
you.
So for about 2 weeks, solid. That's all I read.
Did I just hear her say she is reading fiction?
My list has 2 nonfiction books and about 15 normal books.
I would fall out of my chair, but it would make a big loud noise. I just think I'll sit here.
So I just, and I had such a great time doing it. I forgot just how much fun fiction is. So
you know why?
It was awesome.
Because fiction is
best. So other places.
When it can take you somewhere else.
Yep.
That's what I love.
And
when you need
good
to be
ones,
somewhere else.
And I read some really good ones and I read some not so good ones. But mostly, overall, there were some pretty good ones. And I'm buying, I've got probably about three or four out of the list. Granted, it's not very many out of the whole list, but that I
That's
will for
good.
Sure be buying, though.
Well, some
Absolutely.
Of them are the same as Sheila and I. So let's go down your list
Let
first,
me go?
Hillary.
Okay.
Yep.
The Whispered Kiss.
Marshall and McClure.
Well, let me just say, that was the Beauty and the Beast one, right? That if I
it was
right,
it was
a
theme.
Take
Beauty
on
the Beast
it, kind
theme,
of.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
It's on my to read list.
It's interesting. I'd say it's worth reading once at least, and then Sorry. Next one I read was The Survivors, and by Greg Luke, and that one was pretty good. I must say, that's the one where there's the plane crash and
it was his first one.
Yeah,
this,
it wasn't his first one.
Mm-hmm. So Do No Harm, the one that's up for Whitney Award this year.
That's the very next, and I will talk
See,
about that one next.
I just put that one on hold at the library.
Okay, I won't go into too much detail, though.
Don't.
But The Survivors, I really liked it. The only thing I didn't like, and Shanda and I both agreed on this
What's
when we
that?
Talked, was that the 12-year-old girl was a bit too pretentious.
A little bit too perfect, a little too mature.
Too mature
little.
For a 12-year-old. I just didn't feel like she was that realistic. But still,
you just
a very
described
great
me as a
story.
12-year-old.
Well, there are some. No. This girl, like, mega pretentious. Like, mini adult. You know, just it was hard to believe that she was 12. And I know that was the intention, that she was a really special girl. And that came across that way, too. It was just she was a bit too much for me. Just a little bit. But I still real creative story, excellent character.
How did you like how they ended up in the valley with those people?
I loved
Wasn't
that.
Wasn't that an interesting
that
thing like to think about it?
Okay,
oh, we're not.
But you'll see what we mean when you read it. But I was totally fascinated by that. I was like, oh my gosh, these remind
just
me
to
of.
Think about like, why wouldn't, I mean, could it? And what are they, what exactly were they, and he took it back. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So,
well done, Greg Luke. Well done. And then Do No Harm, I happened to read. I don't remember if I read it before. I think I read it after. I think I read it after. I loved it.
Oh, I'm excited.
It's a medical fantastic. Thriller. It's like
a medical
thriller.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's good.
It was great.
I'm excited.
It was great.
Very excited.
Very good
very
action.
Put it on hold today.
Mm-hmm. Very good action. Very good. There was a titch of romance, but nothing like over the top.
Guys could read it.
Guys,
I mean,
guys
it's written
it
by a guy.
Like, it's perfect. I really enjoyed it. A very good thriller. Really well written. Good climax. Oh, just a good book. Really good. Really impressed.
Which is why it's, you know, nominated.
And I think it has well deserved that.
Mm-hmm.
Well deserved a nomination. Free Fall.
By Tracy Hunter Abramson.
Abramson.
That's one of them.
It was good. It's not nominated. One of my favorites. But I like it. It wasn't, I don't know, the whole concept of the fall from the helicopter just wasn't quite enough for me to keep it going. And their connection, I don't know, it just didn't work as well for me. But that being said, mm-hmm. I still enjoyed it.
Well, I was going to say the same thing. No, I thought that their little fall from the helicopter
wasn't
thing.
Wasn't dramatic to me.
Well, I mean.
It really wasn't to me.
It happens really quick. It happens really soon, which is where the title of the book comes from. And so it's something that they talk about. First off in the story, so we're not giving anything away.
No, I
liked elements of the story. Uh-huh. I liked how the rescue was played out, except mm-hmm. for the little... I mean, the fall from the helicopter was okay. I mean, it had me like on the edge of my seat.
Yeah,
I was
like,
turning
whoa.
Pages.
Yep.
There were a few times while they were out in the desert that I kind of had a few...
Yep, I'm with you.
It didn't click as well
about.
As mm-hmm. naturally as I thought
yep.
it would.
Yep.
But it wasn't anything that really put me off. It was just kind of like, not as good as you know. Mm-hmm. But it was
Thank
really
you.
Nice to see Amy come in and have Tracy write a different kind of story from her Undercurrent series.
Yep.
Those were really good too.
Amy, and I'm going to talk about those next.
those were pretty good, but this was different for Tracy.
Oh, absolutely.
And I have not been able to get Royal Target yet.
I have
so
not read that one yet.
I'm excited to read that one because I believe that one is up
they
for
They are. She has two
Whitney
books
also.
Up for Whitney Wars. It's in the same category too, isn't it?
Oh, really? I don't know. I can't remember.
I think I have Royal Target
Mysteries,
on hold.
Royal Target and Free Fall. Yeah, yep, two of them in Mysteries.
I enjoyed Free Fall. I really did. It's just not, of her books so far that I've read, it was not my favorite. Because
mm-hmm.
by far, I will be buying Undercurrents the second I get around to it. It's yep. on my to buy list.
Have you read
the
second two?
And I read
two?
Deep Water, I think is what it's called. Is that what it's called?
Deep water.
Something. What
deep
is it?
Currents.
No, it can't be Undercurrents and Deep Currents.
Undercurrents and Deep, yeah, Deep
is
Water.
Is it Deep Water?
And then what's
I always
the other
get
one?
That one mixed up.
What's the third one?
I can't remember.
Oh, Tracy, please forgive
please
us.
Please forgive us.
Our heads are just full of books.
We've read
titles.
So many books. I'll talk about Undercurrents. I loved it. Like, loved it. And I think it's because I like romance. It was romance, but it was also packed with adventure, and I
kind
love
of like Betsy
that.
Brennan Greene's.
It was a Betsy Brennan Greene.
What was the first one? When
Hearts in Hiding.
Yeah. Love that one.
Kind of like that. Theme.
Exactly like that idea. Where and I liked it. The thing I liked the most about it was she writes a romance where there. It reminds me of a Seinfeld episode. And I don't mean to be in a comical way. I just mean the way that it plays out, where it puts them in a situation where, in a romantic situation where there's nothing she can do. And yet he's misinterpreting it. And I kind of enjoy those kind where it's not contrived.
There's a little bit of misunderstanding.
It's a misunderstanding that you're like, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. You don't understand. No, come back. Come back. You know, and that's how I felt.
Not like she had man hands anything like that.
No man hands.
Oh, I love it.
And that's actually one of the things
Seinfeld,
I didn't
sorry.
Enjoy about one of the other books is that it was a misunderstanding that was just, quite frankly, way too contrived and really silly and immature to me. So,
we'll
but
there.
This was, and we'll get to that one in a minute, but I loved it. It is on my absolute to buy list. Cannot wait. As soon as I remember. I was
See, that surprises
they didn't
me.
Have it. They didn't have it or I would have bought it on the spot today.
I wasn't sure how you were going to feel about that
loved
one.
It.
I'm really surprised
loved
by that
it.
Actually.
Loved it. I didn't enjoy the sequel to that. Deep Water. It's not Current. It's something like that. I didn't, it was good and I enjoyed it, but it's just not as not, it just didn't grab me as much. Okay. Mended Hearts. The positives is it was a cute, sweet story. It really was. It was a really, she worked at a ranch where she was a horse.
She taught
riding
lessons.
There we go. And then she met the rancher that.
The family had the stud farm.
That's it. And they start out kind of a weird, they like each other, but not really. But then it's like all of a sudden he did like a 180. And I was like, whoa. And all of a sudden he just really likes her. And it was like, okay, I didn't see that coming because of the way he was talking to her before,
mm-hmm.
like in acting. It was
well,
just
I don't
like,
remember. I don't remember I just, noticing anything like that. I
and
remember.
That's where the.
For, I guess I just didn't notice him.
Well, I think it's because I was reading a lot of romance and a lot of adventure all at the same time. So I had something really close to critique it by. And I did enjoy it. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like a
Who is
horrible,
the author never, of this?
I don't recall. I don't have it written down. I don't have any authors Mended written
Hearts
down. I'm doing this all by memory.
Connie Angeline.
But, you know, I would say give it a shot. Give it a read because it was still very sweet and cute. And the mm-hmm. story, the premise was, I remember now. I remember more in detail. Her boyfriend had died in a boating accident and she had had a hard time getting over that. And that was the premise, the beginning part
mm-hmm.
of the premise. Yeah.
I know that I remember there were certain things that I really liked about it. It just felt a little bit more mature than some of the romances I'd been reading recently. And I think that's why Maybe I'd have to go back and reread it, but I did enjoy it. So, okay, what's next?
I read For Time and Eternity, and I wrote next to it.
By E.M. Tippett's?
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of the singles ward, and I can't remember why. Not in a bad way.
Really cringe. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it was cute.
It's a good book. It's not horrible or anything.
Okay. I remember bits and pieces of it. It's one of those that doesn't, it was just cute.
I remember thinking for an LDS romance, it wasn't too bad.
It wasn't bad. It really wasn't.
I have definitely read worse.
Oh, I remember the premise now. I have to think because I had spare change. I'm mixing up the storylines, but now I remember the difference. She's single, like late or mid-20s ish, and was dating this guy. He broke it off with her. That's why it reminded me of the singles war.
He came back from off his mission
in the singles war, and she got back. He baptized her, and then she went goody goody on him, is what he said.
That's right. That's right. Okay, now it's coming back.
But he really, she really didn't. He just kind of lost his standards, kind of a thing. And so he left and went somewhere to college, and she was just brokenhearted. And then she meets his roommate, and his roommate's adorable.
Nice. He's really a nice guy, but he's young.
Really, kind of young.
He's a little younger than her, and so she kind of has issues with that.
She had issues with that.
And then her family,
and then her boyfriend comes back. There's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with younger men.
No, but you know what? The thing that I liked about it is it had standards without being didactic. Yep, it wasn't preachy.
Absolutely. It wasn't preachy at all, and it was really pretty good.
But it had good standards, and I liked that. And then there was the whole thing that was going on with her mom.
Yeah,
her mom drove me a little
batty,
but her dad wasn't great either. He was kind of, you know, I mean, but the thing was that she had a good relationship with her dad.
Yeah.
You know, and her dad was really, truly not understanding why she was upset with him when he was the one that could always make her laugh. And she was really kind of tolerating her mom, but she was supporting her because her mom was the one that got hurt in the relationship.
Wreck, she just could never get it
she
together.
She just couldn't, that you know, nuts. I mean, well, he...
I know.
Her,
I know he
know?
Cheated so on her, but she couldn't get past
no,
it, though.
She really had a hard time.
It happened like a year earlier or something, mm-hmm. and she still couldn't get
and it took a lot
like
to get her to sign the papers because she just really had a hard time. You know, she's like, I still care about him. I still love him. But, you know, she couldn't be
this
with him. But
mom?
This is the mom.
And she wouldn't sign her divorce
papers? No, she wouldn't sign her divorce
papers. Because it was just such a final thing. And she'd, you know, she's one of those women that you could tell her marriage helped define who she was. And she didn't know who she would be
without
the marriage commitment.
Yeah,
right.
But tell you who you are.
It's not central.
You're a single woman again and a single mom.
Well, it's not central to the story.
No,
but it's
no.
interesting
it's just an
to
interesting
see.
Side note that it affected, and then she was
me.
Well, and she she was quite frankly a bit annoying. But that makes the story
the
more
mom.
Interesting. Sometimes, yeah, the mom was, and it was definitely it did play into the story because they were trying to talk her out of serious relationships and dating this guy.
Well,
it started getting a little more
serious. She was the main character. The heroine was really reserved about certain relationships and about getting the certain things because it was so fresh going on in her life. And so it actually gave it a very valid reason for her to feel these reservations that she was feeling.
Absolutely. So it wasn't bad. I actually really, it was pretty good. I actually liked it pretty good.
Yeah.
It just reminded me of the singles ward. It really did. Just not quite as funny, but had more of a storyline to it.
Yeah.
But,
well, and one part that was frustrating is that her roommate saw more with what's his face than she did.
I know.
But the thing is, he was what she knew. I really did like how it came across with the standards, and she enforced her standards and also it deals with her struggle as a new convert.
Yes.
And being alone in the singles ward for those months after he
leaves her. And he baptizes her and then leaves her. It's like,
because they have this, you know, this issue or whatever. You know, there were times when she felt she didn't want to go. And it was like, I know that there are some newer converts that would probably really relate to her story.
I would say I did enjoy it. And I would recommend reading this one too. I like that one pretty good.
It's
just, you think in terms of a singles word, it has that drama that goes along with that and all the girl stuff that goes with it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard. It's rare to come across an LDS romance that has the uphold these standards without being preachy. But
don't
not,
enjoy
not
the preachy ones. I really don't. Mm-hmm. But
so there you go.
So
that
was pretty
good.
I had to remember the storyline because I got it mixed up with Spare Change, which I did read next by
Aubrey Mace.
And that
she's
one
also
there.
Up
she's
for it.
She's up for it. And you know what? That was okay. I liked it all right. I kind of have like three of them that all kind of fell in the same category for me. They're good books. They just weren't like draw me in and I'm sucked into it where I just can't put it down. I mean, not that, and I don't know how to explain what I mean necessarily.
No, well,
that,
I can, I think I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because I've read all these romances in such a short amount of time. There were things that I liked and things that I didn't like about
every single
one
of them. Mm-hmm.
And the things were all different. Mm-hmm. And so it really kind of depended on my mood, how much it bugged me, how much this bothered me, or whether it was even worth how much it affected the story in the first place. Spare Change, I liked.
It was cute. It, you know, cute story.
It made me laugh out loud like 5 or 6 times.
Yeah, there were parts of it.
But there were times when Paul, I was like, I'm going to reach through these pages and rip smack his head off.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Yes. That's the boy.
There were some times when I was like, and I was really thinking, Aubrey, where are you going with this? Because he's like, it was kind of back and forth at the beginning. You can understand that because that's real life.
Yeah,
when,
that is real life.
When he comes in, you know, she first comes in and he's mean to her.
That,
and then
I put realistic. That this was a realistic romance because it was more realistic. It wasn't, there wasn't as much angst because I do enjoy a little bit of
But there
angst.
Were some people who reviewed it that said that it didn't seem realistic to them at all. But to me,
I'm like, this seemed like a way of romance because it wasn't. Did you notice after they started dating, it wasn't just happily ever after.
It wasn't all peaches and cream and roses.
It was, boy, you know, they fought, they argued, they had what I would consider a normal relationship. They had off days where they didn't get along too well. I'm not telling you what happened.
Yeah, don't
but
tell me what happened.
I will just say that that bothered me a little bit.
I wasn't surprised about what happened near the end. But I do have to say that I liked the message in the book. I liked how she cared about the patients.
Yes.
And this
I thought
that
was
one
so
guy.
Sweet.
I liked how her little mission of, you know, how it kind of grew and everything. I wish that Aubrey would have maybe expanded on that a little more. I mean, she did a lot.
She did
what she did with her spare change. And that was really good. Really good thing that happened. There were just some times with Paul that
it didn't ring true.
That's a good way to put it.
I agree. So I put that one and Time and Eternity in the same category. Like they were both cute, very enjoyable, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
So
and Time and Eternity wasn't so chick lit-ish.
No, it wasn't
really LDS romance.
But it was like I said, it was very singles ward for me. And where this one was a tiny bit more cliche, but still surprising in the romance. And like we were talking about, where it was more realistic, but I found a lot of it very predictable too.
Yeah.
And that was,
it was like the same level of likeness for me for both of them. They were about the same level of likeness.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm in the same boat.
And what else?
Then I read my, of course, nonfictions. I only made it through a couple chapters of When You Can't Do It Alone by Brent Topp. Very good, by the way, with a couple of chapters I made it through.
When You Can't Do What Alone?
When You Can't Do It Alone. Get through life.
Oh, okay.
When things are going hard.
I didn't know if it was like, is this a parenting book?
No, it's not a parenting book. No, it was good. I just didn't have, I told you I went on a fiction kick. So I really was not in the mood to read a nonfiction book, believe it or not. I know people don't be in shock. And then I read, of course, I've decided that Mary Lee Boyack is like my favorite nonfiction author. I just love that woman. I read A Lose the Guilt. What is it? I only wrote half the title down.
Great.
Toss the Guilt, Something to Joy. It's a wonderful book. I have hearts and X's and O's written next to it. Because I really, 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 really liked it a lot. A lot, a lot. And that's another one I got to buy. So, really good. Excellent, excellent book. Toss the Guilt, Catch the Joy.
Marilee Brown Boyack, right?
Yep.
Marilee Boyack.
I just have Boyack.
Something like that.
Toss the Guilt.
It's Something Joy. And then good old Princess
good,
of the Midnight Ball.
Last but not least.
Yes. Last but not least. And I really liked it.
Jessica Day George can just...
She's an amazing writer.
Didn't she just do a fantastic job.
And you know, this is one of my favorite fairy tales. I loved this story as a child. I had it in this big, thick pink book.
You know, I never even heard of it until the Barbie movie.
You
so.
Know what's really funny? I have met so many people as I have been promoting Jessica's book out there with different groups of people that I run into and tell them about Princess at the Midnight Ball. They go, 12 Dancing Princesses, what are you talking about? And it's like, what are you talking about?
I really
do not
know.
I grew up with it too, and I loved it. It was one of my favorites. This is a little bit darker, and I kind of
loved
it.
It had an edge to it that the other ones.
We won't give. Shanda hasn't finished
it,
so we can't say anything.
I started reading it when I was in the hospital, but I had to stop because I was having a baby.
I loved it.
It was. I am so glad
so
that we have
so many twists
these,
and turns that I've never read before of a version of 12 Dancing Princesses.
Yep.
Well, and since I haven't
so hit it on.
Well, since I have don't know she any did. Version except for the Barbie one, I'm really interested to see how this turns out. So, I'm sorry.
It's completely different than the Barbie one. It's not this sweet cutesy little
it is
story.
Not at all.
It's
no.
It's actually kind of sad and frustrating. I just want to smack the mother. What was she thinking?
I don't know.
Well, I already feel that. I'm only like 50 some odd pages into it, and I already wanted to smack the mom.
You wanted to smack the mom? Yeah.
Because I can kind of see what's coming.
Yeah, and it's not pretty.
I'm learning a few things, and I'm like,
I really, really love the hero in this book.
Yeah, he is
very likable.
Is he the soldier guy?
Yes, he is.
That meets the lady on the road?
Yes.
I know I loved him from the very beginning.
All I'm going to say about that is pay attention to what she gives him.
Oh, I know.
Yes. Because it really, yes.
Well, there's foreshadow.
A little bit of foreshadowing.
Foreshadow. Yes,
yeah, that one is, it's a little clear. But you know what? It's fantastic. She outdid herself again.
I absolutely love it. And the cover is
gorgeous.
I love the cover.
Yes.
You know, she described it to us when she was here, and I couldn't really picture it in my head. And then when we got these arcs, I was like, that's what she's talking about.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was
really
nice.
Very well. Well done. Well done, Jessica.
Yeah, we're going
to
get Jessica back on the podcast soon, too. As soon as Dragon Stealth and everything it's all going and settled, we're going to have her back. Maybe we'll have her back with another author too. You know, we'll just kind of touch base with Michelle Page Holmes or something.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Or get Angela and Jessica here.
But no, they both have very good things to say. Very intelligent women. Yeah. So that would be a very fun podcast.
They're fascinating to talk to.
Yeah. And if you don't remember when we had Angela Eschler on, she is the editor that is so absolutely knowledgeable about this business.
Absolutely.
It is just incredible. And
not
she
to mention
just,
a new author.
Yes, yeah, she just recently released
Love
this
Letters
past
of
fall.
Joseph and Emma.
Yep. It's just
which
funny.
Is beautiful.
We were there tonight at Jessica's party, and Angela was in line, and we're standing there talking, and somebody in line said, "Is this somebody that I should know? Is she someone famous?" I said, "Yes, she is. She is the author of Love Letters of Joseph and Emma." "Oh, I know that book." And it was just funny. Angela's just standing
Did
there.
Did she blush?
Beaming. Yes.
She's adorable.
That
girl is
love
adorable.
Love her. She's just a good lady. And it was funny because my son got to meet her tonight. And Angela's mother was my son's kindergarten teacher last year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And
oh, I forgot about that.
He walked up there. And I said, this is Mrs. Colvin's daughter. And he went, wow. So it was quite
that's
a cute moment.
And that's my list.
That's your list?
I still
that's
have
quite
a couple.
The list.
I know.
That's a list, Hillary. I'm impressed.
I literally blazed through that many.
This time.
2 weeks. I read probably, how many books is that? I read them all within about
Isn't
2.5
weeks.
I am so impressed.
All
but you know, fiction,
us.
You can read so much faster.
Oh,
it seems.
I would finish
just
a book every 3 hours.
All three of us
because
were just like reading machines.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't help it. I just needed to read something besides nonfiction.
And it just felt
and
so
I,
good.
Oh, it felt
you have
wonderful.
To have that.
Oh,
you know
my gosh.
And there are some times when I'm like, you know, I have had enough of fiction. I need something that's going
to,
you know, reconnect
well,
me
well, I'm
with
back
real
to nonfiction.
While,
every book
so.
I got at the library this last week was nonfiction.
Well, and I finished, my book that I finished that's nonfiction is Broken Things to Mend by Jeffrey R. Hollins, a collection of a lot of his different talks. Strength for the Weary Soul, Broken Things to Mend is the first section and talk that was given. Keeping Families Whole, The Power of the Word, All Things Are Possible, True Prophets and True Principles, and The Source of All Healing. And it kind of took this cycle through each of those subjects. And there are like 24 different talks that he's given. But what I liked about this one is because each talk is only a few pages long, you sit down when you have a minute or when, say you're getting ready to do your scripture study and you want to get kind of a little spiritual, get you in a spiritual mode before you get into your scripture study or if you have a certain subject you want to go back and reread the talk, this is a really good book to have as a resource. Yes, Hillary.
Okay, I'm dying. And the reason I'm dying is because I forgot to tell you that I had started Mine Errand from the Lord by Boyd K. Packer. And what triggered my memory was that you were starting to talk about Elder Holland's book. And
did you check it out? Because we got a copy.
I
from...
have it. You gave it to
oh,
me.
Oh, I did.
Month.
Okay,
yes.
That was the one I gave you.
Yes, and you said,
sorry.
Hurry, you must read this.
Didn't mean
so
to
I
interrupt.
Did.
Okay,
no,
go
no,
ahead.
No, it's okay because
Mine Errand from the Lord?
It's the same type of format as Broken Things to Mend. I opened it up and went, oh, okay,
just a collection
so
of different
a collection
topics?
Of his talks, his quotes. There's pictures in it. It's really thick. And it's wonderful because I just went, okay, let's see. And because as soon as I figured out that it wasn't in chapter, it wasn't necessarily in the standard
you
format.
You read from front to back.
You don't really read it from front to back. You go, okay, I'm going to give a talk next week on prayer. Prayer. And it was funny because I opened one and it was The Plan of Happiness. And do you remember his story in conference? I never forget this, about how our lives are in play. And the first act was pre-earth life. Mm-hmm. We're only in the second act and the third act is yet to come. And it was just like reading through that. I went, oh, that's right. I only have to make it through the second
Isn't it
act.
Comforting? It's almost
it
comforting.
Is.
What do you think about it?
And it was just, I think it would be excellent to have on your shelf as a reference and not just, I mean, and plus just read it when you're
home after church one Sunday.
Yeah,
and
you don't have a lot
couple.
Of time
you don't
to
have,
read. Yeah, you just want
to
read
want
a couple
of,
you know,
uplift.
A couple of pages, yes. But you don't want to commit to, you know, a whole storyline. That's what I'm trying to say.
To base a family home evening off one of
Wonderful
the talks.
Wonderful for
that's
a family
a
home
good
evening
idea.
Lesson. Because President idea. Packer is just a really great.
He was just here in our state for a state conference.
Elder Oaks was at ours.
Really?
Yes. Really? This past one that I missed because I don't take my baby out in public yet. Exactly. Because she was too little.
And he did a very nice job.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
It was just for Sunday. He was just there for on Sunday with his wife, but it was very good.
Well, I would just say that these two books, I would say, go hand in hand on your bookshelf.
That's good.
Broken Things to Men and Mine Errand from the Lord.
Those would be good books. Sounds very good. Birthdays and gifts of some sort.
And even for the men in your lives, I would say, very good books.
Especially because they are such good men.
They're excellent.
To have to look up to and have in your, you know, to admire in the church.
You bet.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's great.
That's it for me.
That was my nonfiction one that I read.
Tell us about your
one nonfiction.
I didn't make a list because I've read so many that were on the list for the romance that were up for the romance. There's a couple that I specifically want to talk about. Promise of Spring by Krista McKendry. That one was pretty good. She is a woman who she had been previously married. And he ended up being a jerk.
What was it again?
Promise of Spring. He was kind of a jerk and it didn't work out. So she moves to Texas, like panhandle of Texas, and buys herself a piece of land and becomes a farmer, basically. She's making her own little forest thing. She's trying to she's just kind of doing her own thing. It's you have to read it to understand why I'm not explaining it very well, but she likes to do things on her own. You know, she's like she's raising some rabbits. She's just, you know, she's canning her own thing. You know, it's Texas. I don't know. What do you say?
I don't know. What raise in Texas, really, though, besides beef?
Oil. Anyway, this guy, her neighbor dies and leaves his land, which is a bigger ranch and everything, to his son. And his son comes back and they had a falling out several years before. Because he wanted to join the church and his dad was not into that kind of thing. They were estranged. And he has a 2-year-old son and he's a widower. Shortly after his son was born, she developed cancer or something and it was incurable. So she passed away.
Don't hear that one very
much. No. Anyway, so she's just being a good neighbor. And she comes and brings him over like cinnamon rolls and he opens the door and he's not all, you know, he's kind of mussed from sleeping and stuff. And he invites her and they have eat cinnamon rolls together and he introduces his son to her and she helps him move a few things in. And then he comes over and helps her do a few things like, you know, mows her lawn for her. And they just kind of start out, they're just neighborly, you know, and then things kind of develop, and it isn't an immature or a something cliche. A teeny bopper. It's not too cliche or anything. It's kind of interesting to read about LDS people in different locales besides Salt Lake or Provo Valley or, you know, things like that. So it was a nice one.
Are they more mature? Are they in their like 20s,
they're like
30s.
They're
not like 21, 22.
No, they're 30s. And then Seeking Persephone by Sarah Eden.
Persephone,
she is...
That's the name of the character?
Yeah.
Oh, that's different, too.
She is... Well, her dad is big into Greek mythology. This is a Regency romance. Ah. It takes place in England in historical romance type of a book. She basically has no prospects. Mm. She's the oldest. Her mom passed away shortly after giving birth to her younger brother.
Sounds like a Disney movie.
I can't remember. Anyway, yeah, I know. And anyway, she's basically has no prospects. They're very poor. And this guy is, his name's Adam, but he's the Duke of Kildare. And that's what he goes by. Only a few people call him Adam, his friend and Persephone. But that's only because she decides to, because he doesn't let anyone else call him Adam. But anyway, he was scarred from different surgeries that he went through when he was a kid to fix, like he has an ear issue, like out, like the outside of his ear kind of was malformed when he was born or something. And these several different surgeons basically made a botched job of it, of trying to fix it, everything. So he has these scars on the one side of his face and he's, you know, self-conscious of it, but he gets over that by being intimidating. He intimidates everybody.
Well, that's kind of like a whispered kiss.
Well, no.
Because he's different.
He's just meanie.
Yeah, that's true. He just is bitter.
But this guy, I guess he's kind of a meanie too. But anyway, he goes and he has to show up at the parliament or whatever every once in a while. He owns a lot of land. He's very rich.
Okay,
Seeking Persephone.
That's one on
people
the list.
Just, you know... they do whatever he wants. They get scared by him, and he is so frustrated by people who don't have guts. Like, he just he's frustrated by people without any backbone. Mm. But they don't want to make him mad because he has the power to, like, take him out, you know, if he wants to. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, I don't know, English mafia or something.
English mafia.
No, it's not really like that. I'm just kidding. But anyway, so his assistant guy, which is one of the main issues I have with this book, and remind me when I get to it about his assistant guy, suggests that he, because it starts out with Duke of Kildare is like, that guy is going to inherit my home. He's an idiot. You know, he can't stand the guy who's supposed to inherit. And he'd rather burn it to the ground than let him have it, because he just thinks he's such an idiot, spineless, wimpy guy. So his assistant suggests, well, there's another option. You can have an heir, and you wouldn't have to leave it to this guy. And it makes him mad. He doesn't want to get married. He doesn't want to have an heir. But then he's kind of, well, what choice do I have? His friend kind of bluntly points out to him that it's not like he has very many choices. Which is where my second issue came in. Anyway,
I don't think I like where that's going at all.
The book is good. The book is good. These are just a couple of my issues. Anyway, so he says, okay, find me someone. And she's poor. They don't have hardly any money. He's expecting a dowdy, ugly, someone who's going to see him and scream and run anyway. And he's just kind of resigned himself to the situation. He tells her not to come until the day of their wedding. She doesn't see him until they're actually at the altar. And he keeps his guard side away from her, so she doesn't see it. And that becomes, you know, they talk about, Adam and his friend talk about how misleading that was. And so that issue is dealt with in the book. But she's just a quiet girl. She's not, the scars don't put her off or anything. I mean, she's from a poor part of London or wherever she came from. She's probably seen a lot, so that doesn't bother her. And she's just a sweet girl who's been a mother to her younger siblings ever since her mom died. I like her little sister. She's kind of got spunk. They write and stuff. She's like, remember, you promised. And she, you know, comes out and asks her, are you happy? And she's just a very spunky little girl. There's a few parts where it gets a little cliche and a little bit cheesy, but the two things that bother me is, once this assistant guy does his job, he pretty much disappears out of the book, and it doesn't
he's done the job of telling you what's supposed to happen, and
of bringing about a certain thing, and he gets mad and fires him. But then you find out later that he's fired him a bunch of times and always brings him back, because he's, you know, the Duke of Kildare. He can just fire whoever he wants, and then when he wants him back, they'll come back, you know. But then that's the last you ever hear of him. And then I got kind of confused, like, is he the apothecary guy or is he the assistant guy? Because then there was another character with the same last name that comes up later. And so there was just a little bit of a consistency issue there, but it wasn't enough to ruin the story. It was just kind of like a, huh. That was the assistant guy. And then the other thing is, for someone who has resigned himself to the fact that he is going to someday need an heir, he sure doesn't do anything about it, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Would you like me to spell it for you?
But I mean, he's just kind of, he has to get to the idea. He thinks he's just waiting for her to turn and run. But she's just a nice girl. She's not beautiful, but she's pretty. Not so much, you know, like, ooh, she's so pretty. He's just surprised that she was the one.
But he doesn't do anything about it? He doesn't make any moves or anything? Oh. So that ruins it right there for me.
But there's, I mean, it's one of those, it's like a calmer romance. It's not something
it
that, you know,
like
it's not all.
At all. I'm like, what romance?
It is. I'm not presenting it very well, so please forgive me,
well,
Sarah Eden, if you hear this.
Since it is one of the books.
It is.
I'll read it.
I'm interested to know what you guys think, and we'll compare notes. But I have to say that of the ones that I read, it was one of the better ones. And so I did enjoy it. There were just a couple things where I'm like, but he just can't. Let's just say he gave her a lot of space. He gave her a lot of space to kind of get used to things.
Considering it's an arranged marriage, I mean, really?
Right,
you're
exactly.
You're not going to jump the gun too fast. You know what I mean?
He's just kind of, you know, but she waited for him on their wedding night, but he kind of just, like, he had to get used to the whole idea. She was not what he expected, and he did not know how to take that. But there was a time when they did kiss that was, they didn't expect to, and things were.
I like those.
They kind of knew there was, like, you know,
when
he leaves and he sits down and he's like, I kissed her. You know, he's like, wow.
Whoops.
You know, like it was a good thing. And his friend Adam's like, yeah, you did.
Is
you
this
know?
Sarah Eden's so, first book? Do you know?
You know what? Let's see. Is she a new author? I have no idea.
I was just kind of It could be, but
it's anyway, so there's that. I don't want to go into too much detail about
that. Yeah, I want to read that. That sounds good.
Servant to a King by Saraya Wilson is about Ammon.
Oh, yes.
And it's kind of,
we like Saraya Wilson.
Kind of a retelling of a Book of Mormon story, and I actually kind of liked how she went about telling the story.
Hmm.
It was an enjoyable read.
She's the one that wrote the one with Alma, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Wasn't it Alma? I read it a long time ago. I'm trying to remember who it was. I'm pretty sure it was Alma, though.
I think it is. And then...
And that was good. I liked that one. I remember liking it.
Of course, we talked about Swear Change already. And then Taking Chances by Shannon Guyman. I read her first... I read one, her previous one. I know she's written a few more before that, I think, called Makeover.
Oh, I haven't read that one yet.
That one was actually kind of interesting and spunky and, you know, whatever. She makes an appearance in this book, but it's not...
So you don't have to read the other one before taking chances.
No, it's just that I recognized her and I went, that's kind of funny.
Well, you know what? That's like Amy in Undercurrents. She makes it... In Free Fall. Mm-hmm.
Everybody makes an appearance, but
they don't take over the story. I read Free Fall before I read Undercurrents, and it did not ruin the story for me.
She has people show
it didn't ruin the story for me at all.
Yeah.
And all of these that you've mentioned, that they're all nominees. A lot of these are nominees for
some of them are
Whitney Awards.
Now, Spare Change and Taking Chances are our finalists, and Promise of Spring I think is too. Is that right? Let's see.
Not in romance.
No. Okay. Anyway, Taking Chances was kind of, it was kind of a fun, different take. Maggie, she's got a little bit of spunk. She's like tall and skinny and eats. She eats.
Oh, girl that finally eats in a book. I like that.
The thing that's kind of funny about it is that she and the guy, oh man, what is his name? Let me look. Because I don't want to call him the guy the whole time.
The guy.
The cover's really cute. I think it's cute. Let's see. She really likes Propel water, Doritos, and
Propel painting. Gatorade, got it.
Luke is his name. His name is Luke. Maggie, she's a black belt in jujitsu.
Nice. There you go. That's what you like.
There are a couple little things that you know that you might get a little hung up on. It depends on who you are, what kinds of things you're nitpicky about. But the story itself is good. Maggie's mother was sexually abused for several years. And her mom knew what was going on, but didn't believe her, wouldn't do anything about it. Things like that comes. And one of the things that Shannon talks about in here at the beginning is, I really like how she put this, because this book is a very enjoyable read. It's funny. It's lighthearted, but not too lighthearted. Like, it doesn't cheapen anything. Like she says in here in the acknowledgments, as most of you know who have read my books, I like to keep things light and funny. Sure, learn something, but when you put the book down, I want a smile on your face. So writing a story about sexual abuse is not something I ever thought I'd do. Because, yeah, everyone knows someone who's kind of been through something like that. Yeah. And so this story had to be written. In here she talks about how it had to be written, and she woke up with it one day in her head and she could not ignore it anymore, so she finally wrote the book. And I thought she did a pretty good job of it. Some people felt like I've read some reviews where they felt it was unrealistic how upset Maggie was at her grandmother more than Lisa, her mother, was mad at her own mother, Maggie's mom that was abused. And then Lisa's mother's the one that let it happen from her Lisa's stepfather. I think I can understand, having gone through a certain circumstances in my childhood, not sexual abuse or anything, but I can understand where someone who it didn't exactly happen to would have a harder time forgiving someone than the person it actually happened to. Mm-hmm. I've seen it happen. I've seen it in my personal life.
Well, you've had
some people felt that was unrealistic.
Shanda, so you would know.
You know, some people feel like that was unrealistic. I don't, because I know there are some things that have happened to other people I know that I have a harder time forgiving the person who did it to my loved one than the loved one it happened to.
It all comes down to experience and what your previous experience is.
So there is forgiveness. Well, it's exactly.
Absolutely.
And this is a kind of about forgiveness, but she does it. It's kind of lighthearted. And I have to say, Luke is kind of funny. He makes me laugh.
Oh, I like it.
He sees her pull up, and he sees she's skinny, and she's wearing like hemp shoes and things like that. And he thinks she's because she's from moving up from St. George to Alpine. And because she inherited this house from her great grandmother, something like that. So he automatically, like, she's going to turn it into some Tuscany, like, remodel it into some Tuscany house. And she's just some, you know, hippie type, whatever, girl. And he prejudges her. And when he comes over, he kind of, you know, isn't too neighborly and stuff. He just kind of comes over to do the obligatory neighbor thing. And he gives her a bad impression. She gets an impression of him that's incorrect.
I like those kind.
You know, that kind of thing. Like they
that's the misunderstanding that I enjoy. Mm-hmm. I enjoy and misunderstandings it, like that because those are pretty hard to get out of and they're more interesting.
Well, and it's and
better twist. Better twist.
And then later they can joke about it. Yeah. And they do. But anyway, she likes to paint. She's a very, very good painter. And one thing he doesn't realize is that her last painting went for like $500,000.
What?
She's one of those that has like a really natural talent. Ugh. Okay.
Wow.
But she doesn't, she feels awkward with it. She's not comfortable with it. She doesn't, she's not comfortable with the fame. She's not comfortable with the money.
I would be very,
you know,
I'm like, she's, I can handle the money. Likes, I don't want the fame, but well, I
mean,
the money.
She's not, not, you know, like, hey, look at me. I'm a famous artist. You know, nothing like that. She doesn't, you know,
she
go into that.
She keeps to herself. She doesn't like the limelight. I like that. That's just my kind of girl.
Yeah. Anyway, Luke has had, like 6 months prior, so his fiance died.
Oh.
And so he's kind of, you know, coming off of that kind of a thing. And so they just, the way, you know, she has to deal with how she feels about her mom's abuse because she's moving back to the town where it all happened, where both grandparents live. And the grandparents, her dad's grandparents, her dad died of leukemia before she was born or something like that. So she never even knew her dad. Her dad's parents are there, but they never contacted her. She thought they knew about her and just didn't bother. But they didn't even know she existed.
Oh, my word.
Until she moves up.
That's a nice little twist.
So then they want to be, and they kind of, like, she comes to the house and there's a pot roast ready for her. And there's all these things and like, you know, welcome home. Here's, let us know if you need anything, grandma, grandpa. Because they had just found, but she doesn't know that they had just found out about her. And anyway, this I actually really enjoyed this book. I didn't want to go into a whole lot of detail, but all right, Hillary, you can read it.
I am reading it.
But I really did like that one. Of all of the ones that I had to read, I think that one was my favorite.
That's good.
And I really like the tackle that he comes to fix her easel. Let's just say her jujitsu kind of comes into play.
Nice.
I thought it was
funny. I like it when just a girl kicks the crap out of a guy. Even if it's accidental, I still enjoy it.
And I, you know, because I'm a green belt in karate, I thought that was funny. But, you know, it kind of, it's funny how it works. It's just a natural, their relationship took a natural course to me. And
I
really
enjoy
like
natural courses. And like I said, I enjoy it when it's not something contrived or something that's really a silly misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the kind that it's a little, and when I say angst, I just mean like, you feel it in your gut. You're like, oh, come on, make it work. Kind of thing. And that's what I mean. I like that kind of angst. Yeah. When I say angst, that's what I mean.
Not like teen angst.
Not like teen angst. Like, oh, he's so hot. No. I mean, every now and then that's all right. But I mean,
one of the books that surprised me was Anita Stansfield, The Sound of Rain.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about that.
I haven't read Anita Stanfield in quite a while. But this book isn't necessarily romance, although there's romance in it. The story is really good, about a bunch of teens who are in their senior year. They're coming up on graduating. It's a brother-sister who are in the same grade because they were born close enough that they, and the timing was just right that they were in the same grade. He's friends with Derek, and his sister is someone that he was very impressed with. He's into music and everything. I can't remember the main guy's name, but he sees her on stage and he's just really impressed with her. Finds out that he's in a couple of classes with her. And so he kind of gets to know her a little bit, finds out that they're brother sister when he goes over one day.
What?
No, that Derek and this girl he likes are brother and sister when he goes over one day.
Wait a second.
Derek has a soundproof room with all this stuff in it. And so they go down there and they form a band.
Mm-hmm.
And they get a job at a dance place. Anyway, it kind of goes through the story of love and tragedy. Hmm. And it doesn't end all wrapped up in a pretty bow.
That's okay. Sometimes that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. I like my wrapped up in pretty bows every now and then, but I do enjoy one that's not so wrapped
up. I know. I have two issues with the book.
Okay.
One is I feel Anita Stansfield can be a little too tell and not show. When an author starts to tell me and doesn't show me, and condense three paragraphs down into one where they could show me, I tend to skim a little bit. There are some parts in it that are like that. But those times were not as often in this book as in some of her other ones. There was a lot more show. But there was one part that I did feel got too preachy. I'm not going to go into detail, but there was one part that I really felt was too preachy. But it is something that teens face every day. And I think the way they recognized and handled it was good. It just really skewed off the storyline a little bit, and it kind of was a little distracting. But it was a good message, so, you know, you can get past it. The next book that I really want to talk about is, hey, Josie, you've already heard from me because we're going to get you on this podcast. But her latest book is called Lemon Tart. I've never read a culinary mystery that I know of. I think the closest I've come to is Betsy Brown and Green.
Exactly, where she leaves her, the recipes.
Mm-hmm. But this is not like, I mean, this is an actual culinary mystery. Like, this one has, there's a lot of show. There's a lot of experience.
Nice. I like show.
You experience this with her. There isn't, her previous one, Her Good Name, was a good book. There, some of the things with the relationship between Micah and Chrissy kind of didn't, it didn't ring true for me in some parts.
But it wasn't really relationship based. It was more about
The suspense. What happened? Yeah, right. Getting it all figured out and getting her life back.
Which is fabulous. Mm-hmm. And everyone should read it because let me tell you, I don't get rid of my credit card very easily, but or handing it to someone keep your eye on it. You know, credit card.
And so, I mean, there's some good, it was a good book, but they're just that, you know, part of it kind of was a little bit hard for me when those parts of the book came up, but there was good suspense, especially at the end. And I really enjoyed that one. This gets 5 stars for me. If I give it 5 stars, I don't give out my 5 stars easily. This one gets 5 stars for me.
She's stingy with her stars.
She is.
I cannot wait for English Trifle, which is number 2. I hope I don't have to wait very long.
Hint, hint.
Yes, because I'm so excited. She just, you know what? I think Josie has found her niche. This is where she needs to be. And she's combining 2 things she loves. She loves mystery suspense. She loves cooking.
Is there any romance in it?
There's...
I'm asking if there's a touch.
No.
Little touch?
No, but there's... Well...
It was a yes or no question.
She has a fiance.
Kind of. I'm like, what?
She has a fiance, but there's also another man that comes on the scene that
there isn't anything
going on, but you could see how there might be later.
Good, okay.
And you can't help but like the guy.
Okay,
so, but this is definitely, you know, I mean, this is something that I hated every time I had to put it down. I started reading it before I even got home in the car. And that's even for me, that's big because I get car sick too easy. And I still was reading it on the way home because I couldn't wait to read it. So I was not disappointed. I'll just leave it at that. I can't wait for you guys to read Lemon Tart so we can talk about it.
I highly recommend it. I need to read it.
Sheila's been telling me that I can't have it yet.
No, I reclaimed it.
I highly recommend it to the readers. I would purchase this book with no problems at all.
Hmm.
I would purchase it. It's a fun book. I can't wait to see where the series goes. I really am excited to see what happens with Sadie Hoffmiller.
I like that name. It just has a cool ring to it. Well, and I haven't even read it and I already like it. I'm like,
And she's
like
a fun, spunky woman that she's, you know, older. She's like 56, but she's young at heart. She's young at heart. She's a widow. They had adopted 2 children before her husband passed away. And she raised them mostly on her own after he passed away. And she likes food. But she doesn't overindulge too much because she's older and she's conscious of her metabolism, but it's all realistic. She loves goodies. The recipes are included. Make me want to get my apron on and start cooking or start baking because, I mean, there's just some brownie recipes. Ooh,
I'm a brownie freak.
Oh, there's a lemon tart recipe that looks really good. I'm not even a lemon tart fan, but I want to try it because it looks good.
So recipes are interspersed throughout the book. They're just all at the
end of every chapter or anything. They're just thrown in here every once in a while. She does mention some recipes where I'm like, ooh, I hope you put that at the end of the chapter, but then they weren't
Alfredo sauce.
Oh, I'm sure you could email her and she could.
Oh, I'm sure.
Or does she have on her blog? I haven't seen them there, but
There's carrot cookies. There's, you know, something for everybody. So, yeah, really good stuff.
Cinnamon ginger cookies, cream cheese frosting. Sounds
cream cheese
fabulous.
Frosting.
But the nice thing about this is it doesn't go into, even though it's a culinary mystery, it's not like about the cooking.
Food.
Right. It's just, you know, she takes a plate over. A plate of cookies over to a neighbor under the guise of, you know, I'm sorry that I haven't seen you in a little while. How are you doing? By the way, did you see anything happen Monday night over at the other house? You know, I mean, it's, and people kind of know how she is. And they don't mind telling her. One of the neighbors is like, I know what your game is. You're nosy. You're trying to do this and blah, blah, blah.
I love it.
But then he still tells her what he saw, you know? So, but she's like, well,
that's cute.
And she's kind of caught off guard. She's like, well,
oops.
And she makes some mistakes. She does some doozies, but the end is very suspenseful.
I like who she dedicated the book to. Yeah. She dedicated it to her mother. It says, for all of the good things baked and otherwise.
That's good.
There's another book that I wanted to tell you about that I was sent a little while ago that now suddenly has a personal application to me. Once again, it's called Mommy's Little Breastfeeding Book, 101 Tips Your Baby Wants You to Know About Nursing by Michelle Lee Carnesecca. It says RN and IBCLC after her name. It's divided into three sections: before the hospital, at the hospital, and at home. And the nice thing about these is it's a smaller book. It's something that'd be perfect to give an expectant mom who plans to breastfeed, or a new mom who has just barely had a baby. And it starts out with just a little tip on each page. You know, get support. Your husband, mother, lactation consultant, medical professional, or friend can cheer you on in your decision. This is, you know, from before you get in the, before you're in the hospital, which would mean that this would be a better gift to give, like in a shower. Or from
cute.
Someone who is
I
expecting.
I could use that.
I mean, there's
5 kids ago.
There's no kidding. That you're done now.
Well, there are some tips that I know about simply because I've had 4 children.
Right.
So, but there are other things. It's like, oh yeah, is it someone who is new at this, and it can
be
intimidating?
Really,
this is something that they can handle. Just keep it in your bag and read through
that.
These.
Mm-hmm.
Know when you need a hospital grade pump. You know, it explains the difference between when you're going to need a hospital grade pump, or when you can express by hand, even, or
instead of the nurses just coming saying, "Just do it." Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm doing.
Or you know, like just stuff to do when you're at the hospital. There's checklists. There's, you know, just ways to make help you be the most successful at breastfeeding that you can be.
Well, it increase your confidence. I can see that.
Well, even with with my little one that was just born, she had to spend some time in the NICU, and I couldn't nurse her. I could only hold her twice a day.
Aww.
So I had to pump when I was in the hospital.
Right.
And, you know, you only get a little bit at first. And it was discouraging. But, you know, they let you save every little bit that you get. And they give everything to your baby, even if it's just a few drops. They give
that
it to them.
So
and they were really supportive, at least at our hospital in the NICU, for that.
Right.
And I rented a hospital pump. I rented it for 2 months because the first month, you know, my baby was not eating as much and I was making a lot, so I needed it.
Right.
And I didn't have a chance to get out because of the weather and the cold and sickness. I don't want to take my baby out, and where she is, I need to be because I'm her source of food. And for a while, she was only drinking from a bottle because that was what she had in the NICU. It's all she knew. And she was too weak. She didn't have the stamina or the strength to breastfeed yet. Until she was closer to her due date, where we would have been about 38 weeks gestation, then she finally started to be able to nurse once or twice a day, where she really got it. And then from there, it increased. But even for me, who is a mom for the fourth time, breastfeeding can be really frustrating. There were times I was discouraged. I really thought we weren't going to be able to do it this time. I really thought the day that she finally got it, the first time we had a successful session, was that morning I had decided to stop trying.
Word.
That I would just pump for a while and get as much milk as I could. And
call it good.
And hope for the best. And just say, you know, we gave it a good go. But maybe because my pregnancy wasn't what I expected. It was difficult. Maybe breastfeeding's not going to be what I want it to be either. And I decided the frustration and everything that was coming between my baby and I and our relationship wasn't worth it. So if you know an expectant mom who could use a little bit of help and encouragement in her decision to breastfeed, this book, Mommy's Little Breastfeeding Book by Michelle Lee Carnesecca, is one I would highly recommend. There's a lot of good information in here about pretty much everything. And now my baby and I are almost solely breastfeeding. We give her a bottle simply to help rotate the milk supply because now I have all this milk I need to use up before it goes bad. She gets a bottle or two a day just because, and I pump that one time that she's not nursing, and then we just kind of keep the milk rotating.
Good.
This is $8.95 on the back, so it's not a very expensive. It's a cute little book. It's got, you know, pink with white polka dots.
And it's very cute.
It's really cute. So something that you can tuck in with your baby shower gift.
Perfect.
Anyway, so I think I'm pretty sure that's all the books that I've been reading so far that I can think of. So
that's very good.
So are there any books that you've read, Sheila, that we haven't covered yet?
Oh, are you kidding?
Oh, no. Here we go.
Yeah, there's a few. But, I mean, we have covered a few that we've already talked about. But I decided to join the historical fiction reading challenge that I found on a blog. And so for 3 months, January, February, and March, I had to choose 3 different books that I will read each, or 1 book that I'll read each month that's historical fiction. So the first book that I read in January, I decided to go with The Royal Twist, because you could either do The Royal Twist and choose royal books twist. Or about royalty.
Oh, okay.
Or, yeah, that was what The Royal Twist is. Or you could choose books that would be like, that inspired Twilight, like Jane Austen books or that type of thing. So I went with
Inspired Twilight?
That's what they were kind of saying, you know.
Okay.
But I went with The Royal Twist. And the first book I read was The Other Boleyn Girl by Philippa Gregory.
I have heard of this book coming from everywhere lately.
This, let me just tell you, those of you that have seen the movie,
there's a
read
movie?
The book. Read
there's
the
a
book.
Movie? I know. I didn't know that was a movie.
I mean, I blogged about this a few weeks ago, about 10 days ago, I think. And it, I said I read the book and then I watched the movie right immediately afterwards. And that was such a big mistake because the book is so superior to the movie. And it was very different. But it's all about Anne Boleyn and her sister Mary and King Henry VIII.
Who are they anyway?
Oh, King Henry VIII.
Are you serious? Well, not King Henry VIII is. I mean, who are they?
Well,
the girls.
Mary was one of his mistresses.
Okay.
And who did have children with him. But Anne's family kind of pushed her forward to become one of his wives. And she incidentally ended up, you know, getting her head cut off.
Oh.
So she was one of those that displeased him greatly. But this was a great read. I mean, and you know, I will warn people, and a lot of us people that are LDS that have read this book, we know that there are some parts in here that there are some sex, frank talk about sex.
Okay.
You know, so you just kind of skim over those parts. But, I mean, she's a mistress to the king, you know. But mm-hmm. It's not, like, through the whole
book. It's not graphic, like, well, I mean,
a
like.
A little bit, but. I'm not sure how.
Not like steamy romance thing, but or is it more matter of fact if this is just what happened?
It's a little bit between the two.
Oh, okay.
So just be careful. Read with caution.
Exactly.
Just know it's in there.
But you know what? The history behind it and the story behind it is so gripping that you just read it. And it's a big book, but I really enjoyed it. And then this month, I read a book that I liked even better. It's called The Virgin Queen's Daughter, and I brought it just so you can guys can kind of look at it.
Oh, yeah. The cover was nice.
Oh, isn't that a great cover?
Oh, wow.
And it's by Ella March Chase, and it is about Anne's daughter, who was Queen Elizabeth I.
Really?
And supposedly, she never had any children. That's why they called her the Virgin Queen.
Elizabeth I?
Okay. Yeah. Because the only living child that Anne Boleyn ever had was Elizabeth.
Okay.
And
but she had other children.
They
just didn't live.
Yeah, they did not live.
Right.
And that's why she was tossed aside, because she never had a son.
Oh.
But with Elizabeth, supposedly there have been rumors throughout history, you know, through the years, that she did have a child. And this is that supposition that if she did have a child, this is her story. And let me tell you, this story just picks you up from the very beginning, throws you into Nell's life. And then, you know, once she goes to London to become a lady-in-waiting of Queen Elizabeth's court, you just cannot put this book down. I mean, seriously, this is one of those books. And I say that about a lot of books, but this one truly, it just has such a gripping story.
Does this one have any graphic things in it?
A little bit, but not quite like the other one.
Not like the Mother Boleyn
girl? It talks
a little
bit about her wedding night. It's not an LDS author, but I thoroughly enjoyed the mystery behind this, the suspense, and then the very end. You are just on pins and needles wondering what's really going to happen to Nell at the end. So
Nell is just the character whose the story is kind of told through.
Supposed to be her daughter.
I see.
Keyword there, caught that.
Supposed to be. But I love this book. Honestly, this was really, really good.
Okay.
So that was one of the books I really loved.
Next.
Okay, we already talked about Princess at the Midnight Ball by Jessica Day George. And speaking of Jessica, I don't know if we mentioned or not, but her book, Sun and Moon, Ice and Snow, that I absolutely adore.
For two categories.
Is up for two categories of Whitney Awards. One is, of course, in youth fiction, which I had already read. Mm-hmm. So, yay.
And the other one is Novel of the Year.
Yes, Novel of the
Year.
Go,
Jessica.
Like, yes. But you know what's really hard is that one of our other favorite authors, Stephanie Black, her book is also up for Novel of the Year.
Well, and in youth fiction, you've got...
youth fiction just drove me crazy.
James Dashner.
Yes, 13th Reality, James Brandon Dashner.
Brandon Mull, Scott Savage.
Fablehaven, the book three, yes.
I'm sorry for anyone.
You're just going to have to do lottery.
Make that. Yeah, they're going to have to draw a name.
I think you're just going to have to put it in, right, do like bingo and then just pull it out.
It is just so hard.
Because how are you going to choose?
It is so hard for me.
I even enjoyed a couple of those books. Like,
well,
I haven't read
Sanderson
Savages
has
yet. But
one of his Alcatraz books. It's the second one that is there too. I mean, they all. But what I was so excited about, because that was my category that I was judging, and the ones I loved the best all made it. It was like, yes.
Oh, in a way, that makes it harder, though.
We talked about the 13th Reality when James and Jeff were here last time. And I mean, I absolutely adore 13th Reality.
His second
but I have not read
what
Brandon Mull's books.
Oh, you have to read those.
So I'm going to. I need to. I want to make a fair vote.
Yeah.
But, you know,
And they're quick reads. That's the thing about Fablehaven books. They are very
even though they're
reads.
A little thicker, they're youth fiction.
They're not that thick. Seriously, you pick them up, you can't put them down. They're another one that you just... But the thing I was going to tell you about James Dashner, on my blog, I have the countdown for his second book, In 13 Reality.
It comes out in March, right?
It's 16 days from today.
Really?
I think it said day 16.
Oh, my word.
But it's The Hunt for Dark Infinity.
Yes, I know.
And so,
he
is more excited about his new book called The Maze Runner. Remember you
talking
about that?
Yes, the one that's possibly going to be a movie.
I blogged about that a month or so ago, talking about that and the cover of the book, at least back then, a few months ago. I have that there, so if you want to go back a little bit and check that out, it was pretty cool.
When does the Maze Runner come out? Do you know?
I think it's in the fall.
Ugh.
Yeah, I think that's what it was in the fall. So we have to wait till then, but I'm so excited. We had read one of the Stravaganza books. It was
a while ago.
City of Mass. A couple of years ago, not long
when
we first got started.
Yeah. I just am in the middle. As you can see, I'm almost done
with
book four, which is City of Secrets by Mary Hoffman. And they're good. You know, I can't say that they're still my favorite series because I've read so many good books since then, you know. So,
but is it enjoyable? Is there anything that would turn you off to it or anything?
No, there's nothing at all that will turn you off. But the thing
is the character still as likable as the first time?
Luciano is still there, and he's just more important. And, you know, all of the main characters that were there in the first book, they're there. My biggest problem was the fact that I had not read one of these for 2 years.
I'm trying to remember
who was who. And
yeah, my poor brain was just racking itself, just like, oh, I can't remember. But it was good. Oh, speaking of books along that line, I read the third book in the Inkheart series, which is Ink Death. Fabulous. Seriously. Her best book.
I know. I saw that they're making a movie out of Inkheart.
I already saw Inkheart. It was really good.
Did you like it?
I loved the movie almost more than the book.
Well, really?
To be serious. It really was good. I mean, it
was
wonderful.
Well, isn't it because Inkheart you take about halfway
chapter
to get
16,
into it?
Remember?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once I got past chapter 16, it was really good. And then Ink Spell, which is the second book. Loved. And then Ink Death, the third book. Just fabulous. Really, really good.
So you would recommend the movie?
Cornelia Funke. What's that?
You would recommend going to see the movie?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I think any of your kids, 8 and up, would love it. Seriously.
Mm, okay.
There's a few scary parts, but nothing worse than Harry Potter. So,
okay.
But
that's
good.
Cool. Anything else?
Yes. I had to read. Of course, I was reading for the youth fiction. Heaven Sent by Rebecca Talley. She is the author
that won
our podcast when the Whitney Awards was held in an auction.
Mm-hmm.
And we were up for auction. the podcast was up for auction and Rebecca won. And so it's a good book. It's just very angsty. And there's a lot of turmoil in this girl's life. My heart just ran out to this girl, this main character. She's a teenage girl and it will be fun when we can podcast with Rebecca and get, I want to have a lot of questions for her about that.
Yeah, we need to read this before.
But it was good. So whoever wants to take that, I'll take that next one. That's good. Another book I read was called Freshman for President by Ali Condie. And it was really cute.
That one looked cute to me.
It was cute. At first, I was really hesitant about reading it. But it's this freshman in high school that decides to run for president. And he knows he can't really win. But he brings a lot of issues to the forefront that are important to teenagers. And there was actually a website that was up and running, apparently, that... you know, before the election that you could go and that teenagers could go and vote and everything. You know, I mean, it was really cool. I just want to tell Allie, I was really impressed with this book. It was very cute. Now, there was another book that was just really fun. You know, Ann Cannon, who does the article in the newspaper. She wrote a darling book. It's called The Loser's Guide to Life and Love. Hilarious. So good. I have the book. It was one of the books I had to read for my category, but it's called The Loser's Guide to Life and Love. She did a fabulous job with this.
She's written another book, too, I think you read.
Yeah, she has. And she's a great author.
What's her name? Anne?
It's A.E. Cannon is what it's listed on the book.
Cannon. And this is a fiction book?
Yeah.
C-A-N-N-O-N?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was really funny. Even though all the characters are teenagers, it is hilarious. It just leaves you laughing.
I like that. I love a book that can make me laugh out loud.
Oh, and they're just funny. A book that I just read recently with my book club, you have to be like going on a plane somewhere, and this is your only book you have.
That's so great.
It's good writing. It's called Year of Wonders. It's a novel about the plague taking place like back in the 1500s, and it's by Geraldine Brooks. Good writer. But it's just depressing. Everybody's dying.
I'm like, hello.
But you know what's really interesting? The main character tries to stay positive. She learns a lot about herself and who she really is because of all the things that she does throughout the book. But it's really gross because it describes the plague and what's happening to people's bodies.
Because that period of time has always interested me.
Right.
That would be one of the main reasons why I would pick up this book.
Read it once. I would not buy this book, but it's worth one read.
Okay.
So it's called A Year of Wonders. But like I said, when I had this book to read and I had like 8 or 10 others that I really wanted to read and were a lot better, the storyline was moving a lot more. So I have a friend that's flying out to China in a few weeks. And so she's going to take it to China with her. I was on a Josie Kilpack reading spree there for a while. I read one of her first books called To Have or To Hold. I really liked it. I don't know if you guys have ever read it. It's got a cute romance. And it's some of that angst that you talk about. But I liked it.
To Have or To Hold?
Yes, called To Have or To Hold. And I really liked the male character.
I've heard of it. I just haven't read it.
The girl can get on under your skin, the main female character. She just is ornery. But you know what? It's really good because she really learns a lot about her life and everything that's happening to her.
Well, that's one thing about Josie is that previously, until Lemon Tart, she has written about difficult things in life.
Right.
Like the things that you strive with. It's never been, she hasn't written the easy, like with Unsung Lullaby, a couple that have a really hard time getting pregnant.
See,
she just carries a lot of things
that
like that.
Because that would be my life story.
I haven't read it either. I've only read, I've heard her read the first chapter on Mormon Mom's podcast. It sounded like a really good book.
Oh, I'm sure it's
But
fabulous.
She's never, you know, when we talked to her at the Whitney Awards last year, that's what one of the things she said, that she's always usually written about things that were difficult, difficult.
But in To Have or To Hold, the main character has just recently gotten divorced. Going through a really bad divorce. So to me, it was kind of like,
a little familiar.
Yeah. But my divorce is not as bad as hers was, so I was happy. I also read In Her Good Name, which I just think everyone needs to read this story. It just makes you stop and think about identity theft. I mean, there's so many
really
little
does.
Things that happen that you don't even think about, that you take for granted every day, things that you do. That you can have your identity totally stolen, and it happened so quickly and easily.
And
that's,
you know,
she
spoke with police about what really happens and stuff. Yep,
so,
I know. I closed that book and said, "Hun, we need to sign up for a credit monitoring service."
Seriously,
I have LifeLock.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Seriously, it makes you just.
Would you recommend it?
I haven't had any problems.
That's good.
Is it worth the money?
$20 a month.
Really?
Wow. But you know what? After you read this book, you're going to be glad.
I know
you
exactly.
Done it. So, good books there. Okay, one of the books that I read that was in my category that I absolutely loved, and I was so sad it did not make it to one of the final five. I mean, I wish it could have been final six. It was called Journey of the Heart, and it's by Dave Free.
Oh, yeah.
You guys, I've got that one. I should have brought it, but I just thought we had so many other books to read that you might want to take these after we get all the Whitney nominees read. This was so good. It's about a...
This sounds like a romance.
You know what? It's romance. It takes place at the very beginning about an 18-year-old that should go on a mission, but he's not really wanting to. He gets into an accident. It's time travel.
Really?
No. And he gets thrown back to the handcart pioneers. No, it is so good.
You know what? If we can handle Willard Boyd Gardner sending someone back to, we can handle
this.
But
you know what? This one is so,
in a truck,
it touches your heart so much. I really loved this one. I mean, I really seriously loved this one.
I tried to find that one at the library last year.
Right.
And I couldn't.
Well, I've got my copy.
Okay, so I'm going to borrow it.
Well, his web's not at the library either, by the way.
Sheila has it. What is it?
I know. You want me to
say Journey of the Heart.
Journey of the Heart.
What isn't it at the library, you said?
Loyalty's Web.
Oh, Loyalty's Web. Okay.
Otherwise, I would have read it by now.
Honestly, that was one of my favorite picks, too. I actually, when we had to pick someone for a new author, I put his book down. So, Dave, I'm sorry it didn't make it up there as one of the nominees, but I really felt you deserved that honor.
What's the one from Jewel? Can't remember. And it's
The Journey.
The Journey. Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
The Journey.
Did you like that one?
I really liked that also. And she had such a good story behind that.
Okay, I want to read that one too.
I have that one. I have a big pile of books I want you guys to eventually read.
Well,
I just thought if you have as many books as I do, they have to read for the Whitney nominees. I just thought I don't want to be throwing all these other books. But no, I love Jewel's book also. The characters were likable. She had a good storyline, and it really, I don't want to give too much of it away because I want you to form your own opinion what it's based on. Make Me a Home by, is it Tamara or Norton?
By Tamara Norton.
It was a cute little story. This girl, she's like our girl's age, 11, 12. Her father's in Afghanistan, and it just shows the hardship of having her father.
Not there.
Not there, yeah. And then there's another little girl that she meets whose mom and dad have just gotten a divorce. And I'm going to let my daughter read this one. I just really think there'll be a lot that she can identify with. Just that, you know, feeling of missing your dad. And so they could relate to that. But it was a good, cute little read. Really good for that age group, 4th, 5th, 6th grade.
You have to tell me how she likes it. Maybe I'll have Tana read it. Not because, we're getting divorced or anything, but just because it's something she might like.
Exactly. I think she would. I read another book from Alison Condy. She had two books that were up. It was Reunion. It's the third book in her series. And so it was, I think I would have enjoyed it more. I did not get a chance to read the first and the second book.
It's kind of hard with a series like
that. It really is. And there's a lot of books that are like that. Have you read it?
No, I'm smiling because that's why I don't like series.
I see. Again, you know me. I love the series. Okay, guys. I loved this next book that I want to tell you about. Pillage by Obert Sky.
Oh, Obert.
Oh, this was my favorite Obert Sky book. Because he's the one that wrote the 11 Thumps books.
Yep.
Pillage.
Do you have this one?
Yes, I do. Okay. It's in that little pile that I have set aside for you guys. Seriously, this was one of my favorites too. I really liked it. There's a dragon on the front cover.
I can't wait to read it. I have so many. There's so many good books.
But
I just don't know how.
Good mystery and a lot of adventure. And the main character is a goofball, and you love him.
Is it different than
Than 11 Thumps?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I love the character so much more in Pillage, and I hope he writes more. I don't know if he will, but I'm really hoping that he'll write more with these characters.
Is there any other books that you...
That was it.
Okay,
I mean, there might be more, but that's all I wrote down. That's all I read in January. One book that I forgot to mention that I just blogged about today also was The Last Lecture by Randy Powers.
That is a beautiful book.
You know what? This
beautiful.
Is a book. Don't you think so? Needs to read this book. It's a book about living your life to the very best.
Fullest.
That you, yes, the fullest life. Not how long you live, but the quality of life that you live.
Absolutely.
You know?
And we all need to be reminded of that.
I mean, I know. I mean, it's not an LDS book, but man, this man was fantastic. When he was asked to give his final lecture, he gave his lecture to his children. I mean, he gave it to everyone there at Carnegie Mellon University. But it was to his children to help them to realize their dreams. It was called Realizing Your Dreams.
It was wonderful. I love that book.
You know, this is one of my on my books to purchase list.
Yep.
I mean, seriously.
Along with A Virgin Queen's Daughter?
Yes.
You're going to purchase that book?
I am. That's
how
much
that's
I liked
much you
it
liked
and why
it.
I want to read
I have
it
my little underlined box
seriously.
To buy.
But I want you guys to read my blog just because I also included on my blog today a little 4 or 5 minute video that I'm trying to think where I found it on YouTube, but it was a news report on the last lecture.
I saw that actually.
Yeah, and it was really, really good. That you can get a little bit, if you didn't get to see him before he passed away or didn't get to see one of the interviews, just so you can see what an incredible man he was. I mean, I truly, truly feel that every human being needs to read this story just to see what a better person you can become.
You know, I would have to add to that. Have you read Tuesdays with Maury?
Yes, I love Tuesdays with Maury.
Yeah, I'm like, you talk about...
It's on my list.
You have it here.
I have Tuesdays with Maury.
I have it too. I loaned it to Shannon. She hasn't read it yet.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting there.
Another book along busy. That line. Wouldn't you say?
It would. It's one that everyone should read.
Yeah, she told me to read it with some tissues.
Read it with tissues. You do.
And you know what? The TV movie that they made about that was just as good.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, Jack Lemmon plays.
Oh, yeah. He plays Maury?
He does.
Really?
And it was so wonderful.
I need to see that.
No, those are two books, really, that they tell you how to live a better
life. I think everyone should read it. And it's not preachy, and it's
not
like, this is what I did, you should do it too. No. It's just, hey, think about this.
Exactly. And
I look forward to reading it.
Well, the last lecture is good because they're short, teeny, itty chapters.
Yep, they're like 3 pages.
Read it when I'm brushing my teeth and be done.
Yep.
You know, then go to bed.
Wow. It was wonderful.
You sneak it in wherever you can, don't you?
I do. I was even on some of these books. I'd get up there on my elliptical. And, of course, I wasn't doing the hands, but I'd just be doing the feet and reading because I could not put some of my books down. So,
yep.
Well, and, you know, I think that we need to tell our listeners if there are some books that they've been reading that we may have not mentioned that they really feel would be good for us to read. And
we went through
review.
A lot today, so it'd be good to hear some more titles, too, that maybe we aren't familiar with.
Yeah, please email us.
Yeah,
you can email us at Shanda, Sheila, or Hillary at LDSWomensBookReview.com or at feedback@LDSWomensBookReview.com. You can visit us at LDSWomensBookReview.com, and you can find the links to our email on how to contact us there on the tab on our front page.
We just want to let people out there know what good fiction, nonfiction, what good books are out there. That's
Absolutely.
Our purpose. We don't get paid for doing this. This is just our time to get together and do something that we love to do, which is reading and talk about it. Remember that tickets for the Whitney Awards are on sale right now.
Yeah, they're like $50 a piece, aren't
they? Right, they are, because it's going to be a better meal. It's at a fancier place than it was
a bigger
last
place?
Year. Bigger, more people
okay,
can
good.
Go.
Not lower
and
ceilings,
also,
right?
No.
Well, okay. Also tickets are available for the LDS Storymakers.
Where can they be purchased? Where can they be purchased at?
Just go to LDS Storymakers. Well, the tickets for you can get
for the Whitney Awards
tickets at Whitney.
Are they there? The Whitney Awards.
Almost positive you can do that there, but you can also purchase. Yeah, because I think the link from LDS Storymakers takes you straight to the Whitney Awards for those tickets. But if you're interested in going to the 2-day conference. The LDS Storymakers Writers Conference, which is going to be fantastic. I am just so excited. They're going to be doing a lot of wonderful workshops and going to be learning a lot about fiction, nonfiction, and just the business of writing. So, you know, if those of you that are truly interested in writing, and I heard Angela talking to someone tonight about this, she just said there are so many conferences out there, and she is going to send us a link to her new website that she's putting up that will have a lot of those conferences listed.
Oh,
so we'll be able to have that on our website. So those of you that are budding writers or, you know, wanting to get into all of that or just interested in how it all happens, and then she'll have the links available for us.
That's wonderful. I'm so excited that you could join us again for episode 29. I can't believe we've recorded 29 episodes of LDS Women's Book Review.
Are we coming up on our third anniversary?
I think we actually we are in our fourth year of podcasting. If I'm not,
I can't.
If I'm not
that.
Wrong,
that just,
I think you're right.
Wild.
We finished 3 years of podcasting now, I believe. Yeah, and this is our fourth year of podcasting. I had no idea it would ever last this long. Thanks again for joining us for episode 29. Hopefully, our next podcast will be with an author. Hopefully, either Josie Kilpack or Dorothy Kennington. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
See you guys.
Bye.